Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
You are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God. Nobody else can break through things but you, Lord. In your presence is where we want to be. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify the Holy God. There is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You know, you need to stop being afraid of the devil. Quit being afraid of the enemy. Jesus has already defeated him. He's already defeated him. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I just know by the Spirit, somebody, you can't even say the word breakthrough because you're just like, oh, but this, and this. Listen, that's who God is. He's here for this, and this. Amen. He's made you an overcomer. He's made you a conqueror. He defeated the enemy. At his name, demons have to go. They have to go. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, this is my year.
My year.
For breakthrough.
For breakthrough.
My God is the God of the breakthrough.
Of the breakthrough.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Praise you, Lord. I got a word for you from the Lord today. I know it's from God. And praise him. Praise him. Glory. Glory. Let's just wait 1 minute. Hallelujah.
You know, I'm just standing up here and just looking out in the crowd. You know, Pastor Peggy talking about just the year of breakthrough. And I just, the Lord just spoke to me and just said, some of you in here this year are going to realize the devil's not bigger than you.
Hallelujah.
You're going to get a realization like, hey, he is under my feet. I am not afraid any longer. I don't have to be afraid of the boogeyman. I don't have to be afraid of the evil that dwells in the shadows. All I have to do is trust in the Lord, in the power. This year is your year to realize that the devil does not have a hold of you.
Woo! Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Woo! Who the Son has set free is free indeed. We are free from the bondage of sin.
Your victory is in your shout. Just like the children of Israel, their praise, their worship and their shout brought down the walls of Jericho. Rakasha de Keshanda Makoto, Rekesha da Kakamakoto Shoto. So those walls around you, shout, 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 shout.
Gathers. I'm a shepherd, so I'm going to gather you who are on the fringe. I want to gather you in because I want to encourage you. When you hold in what God wants to do, you hold up what God wants to do. Ooh, that's a good word right there. When you hold it in, you hold up. You hold up. God's stirring you. He's stirring you on the inside. And you say, well, what's a shout going to do? I'm sure the children of Israel have said the same thing. What's a shout going to do? Oh, but I bet they're glad they did it. I bet they're glad they did it. And you'll be glad you do it too. You'll be glad when you let what's on the inside come out. One definition of joy. You say, why are these people jumping around? Why are they laughing? Why are they yelling? Because they are, as many of them are acting, I know them. Many of them are acting in faith. Yes. Because joy is an outward expression of the enemy's defeat. They're stepping out in faith. They're saying, devil, you don't have me. You don't have me. You don't have me. I got the joy of the Lord. I'm stepping out in faith. I'm not going by what it looks like. I'm not going by how I feel. I'm not going by my bank account. I'm going by what God said. And God said, I have the victory. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! You'll shout when your football team wins. Boy, you better shout when you win. You better shout when you win. And God says you win right now. You win right now. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to you, Lord. Father, I thank you. This is a year of breakthrough for us. Breakthrough. We're going to break out. We're going to let things break off. We're going to break into some things. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I glorify you, Lord Jesus, and I thank you that you're so good to me. You're so good to me that no matter what happened in 2018, that you're not interested in the past. God's not interested in the past. God's interested in the now. I said this on Wednesday. You know, when Moses died, God spoke to Joshua, and he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Get up.
Get up.
Listen, 2018 is dead. Get up. Amen. Let's get up. You say, oh, some things died in 2018. This happened and that happened and all these things happened. God says, get up. And as you get up, he moves with you. Amen. He moves with you. But he's saying, get up and get into the things of God. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Don't let past failures hold you back from victories today. Don't let that happen. God's a God of forgiveness and mercy, and his blood cleanses us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're so good to me. You love me so much. Father, I pray for every one of us here today that, Lord, you would just stir on the inside of us. Stir us up. Stir us up. Stir us up that we would desire your presence above all else. Above all else, your presence. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Holy Ghost. You're our helper. And we ask you to help us. For those of you who are here today and you're like, oh, this makes me uncomfortable, ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Help me understand. Help me step in. Help me receive all that God has for me. Help me walk in faith. Help me, Holy Spirit. He's your helper. Jesus said it was better that he go so that he would send the comforter, or the word paraclete. It means one called alongside to help. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost, that you help us. Help us. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for breakthrough in every area. Breakthrough spiritually. Breakthrough emotionally. Breakthrough financially. Breakthroughs physically. Breakthroughs relationally, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that your word today, that it equips us. It equips us to walk in our breakthrough. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like standing by Pastor Peggy. I don't know what God tells me to stand by her. We spend so much time praying together in the morning, so there's a breakthrough. And so many of these words that the Lord showed me that was spoken are so accurate, the shouting. And God has shared me that when you shout, Isaiah talks about the Lord stirring up his zeal with a shout, like a man before a battle. So when you shout, you're really shouting in confidence that God's going to defend the battle that you're going into.
Amen. Amen.
So don't be afraid to shout. But what happens when you shout, the enemy gets exposed that's around you, and even in your own personal life, the things that God wants to expose. And weeks ago, we were here praying, and the Lord gave me a revelation I've never had before. We're praying so much. The Lord says, you know, we pray for results so much. But when we pray, we also are exposing the things that are hidden in our lives and those things around us. And what happens is we get into this mindset, we want to pray because we want something. We want to treat God as a butler. And God says, I'm not your butler. You know, he's God.
Amen.
So we draw to him. And when Pastor Peggy was, I remember that weeks ago, we started shouting breakthrough here in the morning, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. But when you break through with something, that means you have to be in contact with something. We're in our football, end of our football season, in the playoff. God just wants me to share so you can really grab a hold of it. A couple years ago, I was at my school at homecoming, and I was up in the stand, and they give us passes to go down the field. And I asked my wife if she wanted to go down. She said, no, I'll stay up here. So I go down the field, and we're next to the game that's going on. And at the second half, Donna wanted to come down. She said, well, I want to come down. So she came down the field. And she saw plays happening right in front of us. She goes, ooh, this is really violent. This doesn't look like that from up here. This is really rough. I said, yeah. And the Lord says that the world wants you to participate in a game without making contact. But if you're living for Christ, it's a contact sport.
Yeah.
You can't be in the spirit and be on the outside and not make contact. See, on the football field, on the TV, it looks like everyone's just touching everyone. But when you're gone, it's very, very violent. And when we live for Christ, if you really want breakthrough, you have to engage in prayer and make contact.
Amen.
You're not going to have the things that you want and believe for if you're afraid to make contact.
That's so good.
And you can only make contact by going in prayer and spending time with God, whether it's here or your own personal time. But do not treat God like a butler and be afraid to make contact with him.
Amen.
But you still want his results. So when you go to God, You got to go to his team. And when he gives you your armor, it's not for you to sit on the bench and watch everyone else make contact.
Amen. Amen.
It's warfare. But we have to do it together. And the number one thing that the Lord showed me in this season of 2019 has got to be a place of repentance. Relationship, anything that's in your heart, unforgiveness. And I know I measure it all the time. Those you live with, family members, whoever it may be, come to a place of repentance. Things you've spoken about, people you don't know, when God told you not to speak it and hold back. And there's some things God wants us to address. But the first thing has to happen. You have to repent. Allow God to come in and heal you and then move forward. And then you go on assignment and make contact with whom he's telling you to make contact with, even though it may seem uncomfortable. You may be in Starbucks and someone may need a word from God. You say, God, well, I don't want to do that. I just want to stay with you. God says, no, I need you to make contact. That means you may be rejected. You may be accepted. It really doesn't matter. But when you're on the field of play with the Lord, it is a contact sport in the spirit realm.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Thank you. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's a good word. That's a good word. I believe we're going to make contact this year. Amen. In a lot of different ways. And like Mark said, when we were here and we were praying that day, I just encourage you, I always talk about prayer and how important it is to pray and how important corporate prayer is. You know, when you pray with other people and you come together, many times you're just praying things. You don't even know what you're praying out. You're just praying and you're letting God direct you. Amen? And that's what happened that day. And I believe that was just a divine word. It's hard to explain unless you were there. It's hard to explain just how God moved. But it was so powerful. And it was for us corporately. And so I just encourage you, don't check out. Don't sit on the bench, like Mark said. This is not the time to sit on the bench. It's the time to get in the game. You know, I always say life is a contact sport, and you're going to take some hits. But the good news is you've got the armor of God that's going to protect you. Amen? You've got God who's going before you. God is with you. Amen? Let's not be afraid of what God's told us to do. Let's not be afraid of people. Amen? Let's not be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of your coworkers for them to know that you're a believer. There's no reason for you to be afraid. God's got you. God's got you. Amen? All right. I know I have a word for you guys today. We're going to get to it. Here we go. Thank you, guys. What a great job. Glory to God. Whew. Ain't God so good? He's so good. Let me tell you the definition of breakthrough. I think we got it on the screen up here. A breakthrough, and I just want us to just continue to say that, breakthrough 2019. When it seems like things are getting hard and you feel like giving up, just go in the bathroom or go outside in the backyard or wherever and just yell that word, breakthrough! Breakthrough. And when the enemy tells you you're being silly, say, I don't care what you think, you're a loser. Amen? I'm not going to let you decide what I do. I said this on Wednesday and when we had our staff retreat, and I tell you, we have this amazing service. People are falling out everywhere. And the one thing people remember is when I said, you're not the boss of me. You need to remind the devil, he's not the boss of you. Amen. You need to remind people, they're not the boss of you. You're not going to tell me how to think. You're not going to tell me what to say. You're not going to tell me how to live. I'm going to let God do that. I'm going to let God be the boss of me. Amen? And so when the Lord says go and shout, don't let anything, don't even let your feelings be the boss of you. For goodness sake, don't let your feelings be the boss of you. They'll get you in all kinds of trouble. Let's be spirit-led. I want to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, and spirit-formed. Amen? I want the Holy Ghost to form me. Spirit-led, spirit-filled, spirit-formed. Oh, that's good. Here's the definition of a breakthrough. A significant or sudden advance. Ooh, I like that. A significant or sudden advance, development, achievement, or increase that removes a barrier to progress. That's good. A significant or sudden. I thank God that he's a God of suddenlies. Don't let the enemy tell you something's never going to happen. God can change a situation like that. Like that. A significant or sudden advance, development, achievement, or increase that removes a barrier to progress. To progress. And as I've been praying this out, the Lord's just been showing me those barriers that are going to be removed. I think the enemy gets blamed for a lot of things that he doesn't have anything to do with. He gets blamed for the results of pride. You know, somebody falls and they're like, oh, the enemy. Well, the Bible said pride comes before a fall. And so I want the Holy Ghost to show me, what I need to let break off me, what I need to let the Holy Ghost reveal to me so that I can have a breakthrough in that area. In our marriages, the Bible says the reason that we quarrel among ourselves is because of our own selfish desires. You know, marriages are failing because of selfishness. And we're blaming the enemy. And so we got to let some things break. I want that to break off. I want to break out of that habit. I want to break some habits. I want to have breakthrough. In 1 Chronicles chapter 14, I teach on this a lot. But the Lord brought it through. And I want you to write down somewhere on your phone or somewhere, just right now, say, I claim breakthrough in my whatever it is. I claim breakthrough in my marriage, in my finances, with my children, with my emotions. I claim breakthrough. I claim a significant or sudden advance, development, achievement, or increase that removes a barrier to progress. I claim that in my career. I claim that in my business. I claim that in my personal life. I claim that right now. Right now, I claim it. But here's the thing. Never fight a battle without talking to God first. Amen. Never fight a battle without talking to God first. And we're going to see that in 1 Chronicles up here, verse 14, 8 through 11. It says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went out to meet them. You don't have to be afraid of the enemy. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of God, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord answered, go, I will deliver them into your hands. Never fight a battle without talking to God first. Hallelujah. Amen? Never fight a battle. Never go into, you know, in marriages many times, there's things we got to discuss. There's stuff that we got to talk about because every marriage has conflict. Every marriage has conflict. And it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be talked about. We can't just sweep it under the rug. When you sweep it under the rug, you know what happens? One day somebody just says, I'm out. I'm out. And the other spouse is like, what? What? And they're just like, we never talked about it. We never dealt with it. And somebody just got fed up. Healthy relationships have conflict and you deal with it. But never try to deal with anything until you talk to God first. Amen. Amen? Never try to deal with situations and conflict on your job. Talk to God. Never try to deal with stuff in your finance. Talk to God first. Amen? Man, that's just wisdom for the year. Write that down. Make it a point. Say, man, I'm not going to go into a battle until I talk to God. Because David said, hey, this happened. And they said, should I go out? He said, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to go talk to God about this first. He said, ask the Lord, should I go? Should I go after them? Will you deliver us? And what did the Lord say? Go, and I'll deliver you. Never fight a battle without asking God first. And then over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I know that I talk about it a lot, but we need to grab a hold of this. There's so many lessons for us to learn here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3 and 4, Jehoshaphat, I love that name, I just like to say it. I told Scott that would be a good dog name. He was like, absolutely not. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. But here's what Jehoshaphat's afraid of. The Bible tells us that three armies are coming against Jehoshaphat and his people. He's the king. Three armies are coming. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling boxed in. You feel like, man, adversity is on every side. And I know that feeling. And Jehoshaphat knows that feeling. And the Bible says he was terrified. Another translation said, and fear came. Listen, fear comes. There are things that happen and fear comes. There are things we hear and things we see and fear comes. But when fear comes, we're going to learn from Jehoshaphat what to do with it. Because fear is affecting too many people. Fear is becoming a decision maker. Fear is becoming a leader. We're being led by fear and not by the Spirit of God. And fear will never lead you where you want to go. Amen. Never. Fear does not lead to victory. Never. Amen. And so it says, all the armies were coming against them, and Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. Look at this. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. Come on. We're getting ready to start our 21 days of prayer and fasting on Wednesday. We started on a Wednesday this year to kind of give you a couple days to get yourself ready, to get yourself prepared mentally and physically and, you know, get all the things you get, do whatever you need to do to get ready. Get ready. Fasting is powerful. I was never sold on fasting until the Lord told me to do it and I did it. I was kind of brought up in the idea that you live a fasted lifestyle. So there was no need for other types of fasting. And that could be true, but I tell you, there's power in fasting. Now that I've done it, I'll never not do it. I'll never not do it. And see, when he says, Jehoshaphat was terrified. So he began, he asked the Lord for guidance. And he also ordered everyone, he ordered all the people to begin fasting. So people came from all the towns of Judah, came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. To seek the Lord's help. Man, you got things coming. See, this is what happens. The enemy, this is what he wants you to do. When we've got news and financial pressure and relationship pressure and job pressure and just all kind of crazy and we're getting fear starting to come, the enemy will do everything he can to get you to just, listen to me, check out. Why do you think binge watching is so popular now? There was a time where if you told somebody you watched a whole season of something in 2 days, they'd look at you like you were crazy. But now it's common. And I'm not saying, you know, I mean, there's got to be balance. But what's happening, we are so distracted by social media. We're letting all this stuff fill us so I don't have to deal with what's going on. I don't have to deal with the health of my marriage because we're both just watching TV all the time. I don't have to deal with financial things because I'm just stuffing those bills in a drawer and I'm checked out watching Netflix. And it's not going to help. When he was terrified, when those armies were coming against the children of Israel, the people of Judah, Jehoshaphat, he sought guidance from the Lord and he ordered everyone to fast because he knew the power of fasting. He knew the power of it. Fasting, and this is what fasting is. If you're here and you're like, ooh, I don't know, that's a weird word. Fasting is this. It is a weird word. Fasting is set aside the things of this world to make more room to pursue God. That's what fasting is. It's setting something aside. Fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes me. Amen. God doesn't need to change. I need to change. Fasting is a way for us to say, less of me and more of God. When I fast, I'm saying less of that stuff, whatever it is, whatever kind of fast you're going to do, less of that and more of God. It disconnects me from the world. That's what fasting does. It disconnects me from my desires. It disconnects me from what I want. And so you have prayer and fasting. Fasting disconnects me, and prayer connects me. That's why you do them together. Fasting disconnects me. I'm saying no to some things I want, and prayer connects me.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
And so when we look at this, there's five things that Jehoshaphat did for a breakthrough. He chose to focus on God and not the problems. We got to focus on God, because when you focus on the problems, they become bigger than God. They become bigger. Let's focus on God, not the problems. Number two thing he did, he made a choice to seek God and his wisdom. Just like David did, Jehoshaphat. Let's not fight battles without going to God first. The third thing is he fasted. He fasted. And he prayed. And the next thing, and this is what we just did here just about 20 minutes ago. He worshiped before the circumstances changed. He worshiped before. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 22. You guys got that one? I left my Bible on my desk, so I don't have it. You got it, Macho? 20, 22. Somebody read it for me, will you? I didn't write it down in my notes. Lesson learned. Oh, here we go. Thanks, Macho. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Isn't that good? Thank you. What is it? As they began to sing and praise, you have no idea what God is doing when you're singing and praising. Amen. Do you hear that? You have no idea what God is doing when you are singing and praising. Some of you are waiting until the circumstances change to praise him, and he's saying, when you praise him, I'll change the circumstances.
Yeah.
God's at work. When we're in here shouting and dancing and running and giving God praise and giving God glory, he's setting ambushes for things in our life.
Yes.
He's taking care of stuff. Jehoshaphat worshiped before the circumstances changed. And that's what faith people do. That's what people do who believe that God's at work in our lives. You say, well, that's just not my personality. Your personality has nothing to do with faith.
Nothing.
Your personality has nothing to do with faith. You got to break out of that. I don't want to handle problems. And if I'm going to let my personality dictate things, then I'm handling them. I got to let God handle them. And God says, when I sing, and I don't have to sing and worship like somebody else, I got to do it like I do it.
Yes.
But I got to do it.
Yes.
I got to do it.
Yeah.
The Bible says in the story of Jehoshaphat, I've taught on it so many times, he said he sent the praisers out first.
Yes.
You got a battle, you got to send your praise out. And when you send your praise out, God's setting ambushes for the enemy. God said it. He's stopping some things. He's taking care of it, because the Bible says the battle is not mine, it's his. It's his. Man, I used to love that song when we sang. Remember that song? The battle's not mine, The battle's the Lord's. The praise is my responsibility. The faith is my responsibility. The ambushes are His. Amen. I love that. It says, and while he praised and while he worshiped, God took care of three armies. Three armies. Do you know that it's, you know, when you read these, you read commentaries, it's impossible. They say it's impossible for an army, a group of people to fight off three enemies that are coming at them. It's not possible. It's not possible. But with God, it is possible. Amen. It is possible. It is possible. He worshiped before the circumstances changed. Before. So when you see people and you're like, this is what mistake people who don't worship make. This is a mistake you make. You think people who worship have it all together. You think, well, they must have something to sing about. They must have something to laugh about. They must have something to shout about. No, they've got armies coming at them. But they've learned through the word, we shout, we praise before. Before. Oh, that's so good. Turn on your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. It's going to give us five habits. Say, I want to break some habits. I want to break some habits, and I want to build some habits. I want to build good ones. I want to build good ones. Five habits for a breakthrough. You know, I'm not even going to talk about resolutions. Maybe you made some resolutions. That's great. Good for you. But a resolution isn't going to help you unless you change your habits. Amen. Because we are our habits. What I do every day is who I am. It makes my tomorrow. What I do today is making my tomorrow. And I want to have good habits. And the Bible tells me, it's going to give me five habits for a breakthrough right here in Philippians. Philippians chapter 6 through 9, it says, don't worry about anything. Some of you already checked out. You're like, oh, I can't do that. But he says, don't worry about anything. Instead. Somebody say, instead. There's a better way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then, somebody say then, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's so good. Listen, worry is not helping. It's not helping. It's not helping. Instead, let's pray about everything. Verse number 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Fix your thoughts. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. What's the first thing he says? He says, don't worry about anything. Let's quit worrying. Worry is not helping. It's not helping. It's not making things better. Worry, this is what worry is. Worry is focusing on my fears instead of on God. That's what worry is. I'm focusing on my fears. Well, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, he said, so don't worry about tomorrow, but for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Worries, focusing on fears. I don't want to focus on that. Whenever that fear comes, we need to put a but God at the end of it. Come on. But God is with me. He's delivered me. He's defeated the enemy. He's for me, not against me. He's fighting for me. He's setting ambushes for my enemy. God is at work in my life. Yes. Amen. God is at work in my life. Romans 8:6 says this. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. We need to get a grip on our thoughts. You got to get a grip. You have to. If you let a thought run and take control, it's going to lead to all kind of destruction in your life. It's dangerous. The Bible says it's so dangerous when we let our sinful nature, when we let jealousy and envy and being angry and all that, when we let that dictate where our thoughts go, the Bible says it's going to lead to death. Man, that's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Leads to life. Man, I don't know about you, but I want life in my relationships. I want peace in my relationship. And the Bible says when I let the Spirit of God control my mind, and not like I become a zombie, I just choose to think the same way the Spirit of God is thinking. I get my thoughts in line with Him. Man, things always work better. You know, your mind, thoughts are like trains. Thoughts are like trains. Once it starts going, once you let it pick up speed, man, it'll take you down a track. And it, next thing you know, I mean, just one little tiny thought. It gets in there and, oh, nobody likes me. Nobody likes me. I'm being left out. Everybody's talking about me. Right? Everybody's talking about me. Everybody knows or whatever it is. And you let that thing, it start, and then you're like, yeah, yeah, that's true. That's why this has happened. That's why, next thing you know, man, that thing is starting to chug. And it's just going, and next, by the time it's over, you know, your own mama hates you. Because you've just let that thought keep going. But you got to stop that train before it leaves the station. You got to say, nope, that's not true. That is not true. And here's how we focus. How do I switch my focus? How do I switch? You know, the people in here today, you got trouble with your mind. Your mind just, these thoughts start going and you just get angrier. And listen, there's how you know if thoughts are out of control. You get angrier and angrier and angrier. Your thoughts are out of control. Or you get more and more depressed. Your thoughts are out of control. Or you alienate yourself from people. You pull away. Your thoughts are out of control. And so we got to say, how do I switch my focus? How do I do that? By prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. Daniel chapter 9, verse number 3, it says, I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. Ezra 8:23, I'll just read these to you. He said, we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. Yep. Joel 1:14, announce the time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. I am announcing the time of fasting. I'm like, Ezra, I'm a voice. The time of fasting is Wednesday. We start on Wednesday. And you say, oh, this just seems, listen, you want God results or not? You got to do something different to get something different. You want a breakthrough, you got to do something different. You got to do things God's way. My way got me here. I want God's way. And so the first thing we learn there is don't worry about anything. I got to train my mind how to think. I got to renew my mind. That's another message. Number two, he says, pray about everything. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. Isn't that good? If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. You know, while we were, you know, we had our staff retreat while we were there, a word of the Lord came through Pastor Steve, and it was so powerful, so good. And he said, Come to me, he said, bring your emotions and your feelings, bring those to me. Sometimes as Word of Faith people especially, we're so concerned with saying the right thing to God. Like, oh, I got to say the right thing. No, God just wants you to come and be real and be honest. And listen, every time when I'm talking to God and I'm crying out to him, it's not necessarily my prayer of faith. You know, whenever we see the life of David through Psalms, we see at one point where David, he's running from his son Absalom, who's trying to kill him. How many know that'd be pretty hard thing to handle? Your kid's trying to kill you. Some of you think you got kid problems. You got nothing compared to David, unless your kid's after you. But so Absalom is coming after him, and David is crying out to the Lord, and he's saying, you know, all my enemies are coming, and he's in distress, and he's just being real and honest with God. Mm-hmm. And he's telling God how he feels. There's nothing wrong with telling God how you feel. There's nothing wrong with that. He tells God how he feels. But then as you read through the psalm, then he's like, but I know.
Yep.
But I know you will fight for me. But I know you will cover me. But I know your hand is upon me. Amen? We need to come to the Lord. Be honest with God with where you are. Come with him with everything and just tell him, because listen, if it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. Tell God how you feel. Be open with God and then bring your prayer of faith in there. Just like that's pretty much what David did. He's like, man, this is rough. People are against me. People are talking about me. My own son's coming to kill me. But I know, Lord, that you will deliver me. And God did, and God will. The Bible says in Psalms 88, verse number 9, this is out of the Good News Translation. He says, Lord, every day I call to you and lift my hands to you in prayer. Every day. Every day. In Matthew 6:6, this is out of the Message. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place, so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Ooh, isn't that good? Listen, don't pretend to be somebody else when you're before the Lord. He already knows who you are. Amen? I don't need to role play. I don't need to talk different. I don't need to put on. I just need to go in. He says, just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. And that's good. That's so good. The third thing we learn out of Philippians, these are habits for a breakthrough. I'm gonna stop worrying about everything. I'm going to pray about things, and I'm going to thank God in all things. Notice it doesn't say for all things. It's in all things. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, he says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Now remember what's happening. Three mighty armies are coming against the people. And he sends the praisers out. How many know that does not make sense? Doesn't make sense. Here's what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Am, Moab, and Mount Seir to fight among themselves. You don't have to take care of people coming against you. God will take care of them. We're just got to sing and praise him and thank him for his faithfulness and know that he's at work. Oh, that's so good. Next thing we learn here, habits for breakthrough. Stay focused on true things. Don't let yourself focus on the lies of the enemy. Don't let those thoughts have reign in your life. Focus on what's true. Focus on what's true. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, verse number 8. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Let me give you some marriage advice. I've been married over 20 years. I'm married to a musician, to an artist. Help me, Jesus. Our brains don't think the same. Our brains don't think the same. And I remember one time my dad was a little aggravated because Scott didn't answer the phone. And my dad's like, why doesn't he answer the phone? How hard is it to answer the phone? How can you deal with that? He doesn't answer the phone. How do you deal with that? And I caught myself starting to be like, I know. I know. You know, and then, see, here's where the train will start. I know, and he does this, and he does this. That's where that thought wants to go. But you got to fix your thoughts. And I remember just, you know, you ask the Holy Ghost to help you. The Holy Ghost just on the inside was like, burp. And I was like, you know what, Dad, that's true. He doesn't answer the phone, but you know what he does do? And I began to list all the things that were good and admirable and honest and wonderful. Listen, don't let the enemy talk you out of loving your spouse. Don't let the enemy talk you out of loving your spouse. He'll try every day. But you got to fix your thoughts. Don't let the enemy talk you out of the dreams in your life. Don't let the enemy talk you out of the call of God in your life. Don't let the enemy talk you out of praising and worshiping. Don't let him talk you, and don't let yourself talk you out of it. We got to fix our thoughts on what is true. What is true? What is true? Don't fix your thoughts on lies. And then the next thing we learned, the last practice, the last habit. I'm going to stop worrying. I'm going to start praying about some stuff. Amen. Praying about everything. Be thankful to God. Stay focused on what's true. And I'm going to daily practice everything. We got to do it daily. Philippians 4:9 says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. You got to keep putting it into practice. Listen, this message, this is a great message. And I don't say it's not my message, this is the Lord. This is a great message because it comes right from the Bible. But if you don't keep putting it into practice, it will not help you. It won't help you. And you will not have any change or any breakthrough, and you'll keep going around the same mountain over and over again. And things won't get better, things will get worse. Because that's how life works. That's how life works. We've got to keep putting into practice. And it says practice. That means I'm not gonna get it right the first time. I'm not gonna get it right every time. I'm gonna keep practicing.
Yes.
Keep putting into practice all the things you have learned from me.
Yes.
Keep putting into practice.
Amen.
Keep putting into practice. And he says, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. This is Paul writing. And then he says, then the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
Now, God is always with you, but then that peace is going to get bigger and bigger in your life. It's going to get bigger. It's that peace that passes understanding. Keep putting into practice. Verse number 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's so good. So good. Let's keep putting it into practice. Amen. We're getting ready to start our 21 days of prayer and fasting. All the resources are on the website. You can go there. They're also on our Facebook page. So be on there by tomorrow, I know. And I want to encourage you, don't let this season of prayer and fasting, don't let it pass you by. Because you need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. Say, where's the power in fasting? There's power in it. Even Jesus himself said, and usually this is a message I teach every January is when Jesus went to the man who kept throwing himself in the, to the son who was throwing himself in the fire, and the disciples prayed for him, but they couldn't do anything. But Jesus came. He says, oh, you faithless and perverse. Listen, here's what that perverse is. When you're too connected to the world, yeah, it creates perversion in your spiritual life. You got too much world going on. And then we're expecting to move mountains. We need to be connected to the Lord. So fasting disconnects me from the world. It disconnects me. And prayer connects me more to God.
Yes.
That's how that works.
Yes.
They go together. And Jesus himself said, he said, some things call for prayer and fasting. Man, and I don't know about you, but I believe our world right now calls for prayer and fasting.
Amen.
I don't know about you, my own life. I got some things in my life. I need some prayer and fasting. There's different types of fast. You can do a food fast. You can do a media fast. There's all kinds of different things. There's lots of resources out there. We have them. We've got them on our website for our 21 days. We're going to be praying here every morning at 7 a.m. starting on Wednesday. We pray for 1 hour. We get you in, get you out. You got to go to work. That's fine. You say, I can only come for 30 minutes. 30 minutes will change your life. 20 minutes will change your life. There's something about the obedience of getting up and doing something different. There's something about it, man. God honors it. It's our year of breakthrough. Let's not let it pass by. Some of y'all, your marriages need some prayer and fasting. All of our marriages need prayer and fasting. Your career, it needs it. It needs it. And let's practice what we've learned today. Let's practice. Let's daily practice. I'm going to fix my thoughts. I'm going to get a grip on my thoughts. Because my thoughts are taking me places I don't want to go. My thoughts are chipping away at my marriage. My thoughts are making me, I'm not a good parent because of my thought life. I can't do the things I want to do because of my thought life. Let's get a grip and fix my thoughts. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I pray.